Ross Molin Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bolin Podcast, presented by Bolin Media. I am Ross Bolin, and for today's show, I am bringing in two special guests to the studio. They're identical twins from Wisconsin, Shannon and Sawyer, known together as Twin Stunts. They deem themselves the world's best identical stunt twins, and as such, have 177,000 followers on Instagram, 60,000 YouTube subscribers, over 100,000 followers on TikTok. You can find them at twinstunts.com and on social media at twinstunts, and subscribe to their YouTube channel on youtube.com/@twinstunts as well. Watching their videos is a little bit like watching Band of Brothers for me, and that they make me feel like a huge pussy. They're a Yamaha-sponsored stunt team specializing in live-action thrill shows, riding motorcycles, and crushing stunts as twins. Twin Stunts! Let's bring them in now. Twin Stunts! First of all, thank you dudes for coming through Austin and making this happen. Will you briefly tell the people who you are and what you do? And this is going to be interesting because I don't think I've never interviewed two people at the same time.
Yeah, we've never interviewed at the same time.
Two
so this
people
is going to
talking over each other.
That's great. That's perfect. It's perfect for podcasting. Will all three of us just talk over each other?
Everyone's anxiety is going to be peaking.
Yeah, the entire time. So Sawyer and Shannon,
you got it.
The twins from Twin Stunts. You're identical twin brothers, correct?
Yes, sir.
Identical. Did one of you come out before the other?
Oh, you got to guess this. You got kids. You got to guess the age number gap, or time gap, I should say, on this one.
I'm going to say like 2.5 minutes.
Ooh, you got the two part right.
2 hours? Wow.
The first person really? Ever actually say 2 hours.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah. Okay, who was first?
I was.
You were?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was out of there.
Do you feel like it makes any difference at all?
I thought it did, but no.
You don't feel wiser and older?
No, definitely not.
No?
I got every worst trait as far as that goes.
Okay. And y'all are from Wisconsin?
Yep, we are cheeseheads from Wisconsin.
Okay, J-Bone, Jared Borslow, former co-host, now host of Formula Bone, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Not from Wisconsin, but loves Wisconsin, went to school in Wisconsin, now lives back in Wisconsin, so another one of my favorite people. J.J. Watt went to school in Wisconsin. I feel like I have some connection to Wisconsin is what I'm trying to say here.
It's good. It's good
yeah.
out there.
Yeah. At what point did y'all realize that this is something that you could do and like make, for a living?
So that's where the story really starts to get deep. I mean, it really started obviously as a hobby, just me and my brother here riding around in the parking lot having fun. And then we had a lot of good people around us that kind of said, hey, you guys really, you know, take this seriously, you know, you might be able to make something of it. So we made the great decision to drop out of college. Well, not drop out, we finished our 2-year community school degree and started spending every waking minute we could riding motorcycles, and started just taking off from there.
So y'all grew up riding, and like when I'm looking at your videos, sometimes I'm like, is it like a dirt bike or is it a full-blown motorcycle? And I'm pretty sure y'all are sponsored by Yamaha?
Yep, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so we're actually riding factory Yamaha street bikes. So they're what normal people ride on the road, and then we put a couple stunt parts on them. Actually, everything we have right on our own website. When we're not doing shows, we're doing that. But that's pretty much the thing. It's street bikes made into some wheelie bikes, and grew up riding dirt bikes. My dad.
What age did y'all start?
My first dirt bike had training wheels. I actually crashed it right into my mom's walk-in freezer.
Oh, shit.
The business she still has, you know, put a big old dent in it, and that was, you know, end of riding there. Long story short, we actually do shows at that racetrack now. We get paid to go there, so it's kind of funny. I always tell
it's a full circle story.
Oh, yeah, I always tell a story on the mic. Like, you go up the hill, you know, my first crash was right here, but first thing had training wheels, and then, you know, after that, it was, you know, game on. We just loved always just riding for fun. Never could wheelie. It was never the idea. We just raced dirt bikes, you know, kind of did that normal route, and then quickly we've met some people and just spiraled into the stunt riding world.
So people noticed, like, hey, y'all are really entertaining. This is fun to watch, and we think you could do something legitimate with this. Like,
yeah, so basically we got to give a big shout out to our current, I kind of want to say ex-teammate now because he still rides, but he's got two kids now on the way. So we do a lot of shows that he used to do, Bill Dixon. He kind of gave us a pat on the back one day. I was like, hey, you guys are pretty unique. You know, you got this twin thing going. If you like, you know, get some good tricks, you know, build a brand, you can definitely take this somewhere. So we just took some words of encouragement from him and ran with it.
It's crazy watching y'all do your thing on YouTube, and obviously I follow you on Instagram and TikTok, but I can't get a feel for, like, what's more important, doing the stunts that y'all do, like, between balance and strength. Which one do you think, what attributes make y'all good at what you do?
Yeah, so it's more so balance and knowing what to do, when to do it. So
timing?
There's a big joke we have. I'm the lightest guy on our team. I'm like 148 pounds. Like, it's dripping wet. It's not much. And I ride the heaviest bike that we have. And it's all in knowing how to use the bike's weight with your weight and timing, brake throttle control. You could be the tiniest little guy, and as long as you know what to do, that's what really, you know, benefits. And then also, like, you gotta be strong if you go down, though, too. Like, if you're falling every day and you're not flexible, you're not strong, you're just gonna... you're going to end up back in the truck hurt. Like,
yeah,
we used to not take fitness too seriously. We used to not ride as often. Now, like, we try to ride any day we can, cause we feel like if our body's in that motion, it's just better overall.
Yeah. When I was talking to y'all preparing for this interview, you mentioned that you had found a place to park the RV nearby and y'all were going to Uber over. And I was like, damn, because I was kind of hoping I'd get the experience of, like, hearing the bikes roll up into the driveway.
Oh, I had to hit rev limiter rolling up. Yeah, like, they're inside. So, I'm like, we got to at least wake them up.
I was in the kitchen just now waiting for them to show up, and I all of a sudden I heard it. And I was like, oh, there it is. There it is. So hopefully while we do the interview, Cade can prevent y'all's bikes from being jacked from the Bolin Media driveway, because
Austin should hopefully be good for us. Yeah. It's our first time here. It's just Texas gets a little hairy sometimes.
Yeah, you never know, man.
We get real far down there sometimes, and we never know where we are. Like, we'll book a show, and all of a sudden we look, and we're like, oh, man, like, it's not a good city. You know, we've been in some weird spots in St. Louis before, so we try to ask before we just leave stuff now.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. It's good to, I'd rather be safe than sorry, right? Y'all just came from Katy, Texas, right?
Yeah.
Which is, like, basically Houston.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the time when people ask me where I'm from in Houston, the way I describe it to them is between Katy and Memorial. So between where y'all were and then, like, the Memorial area, which is a pretty nice area of Houston. Where are you headed next?
So we're heading over to Kerrville, Texas. Over by San Antonio.
Okay.
We are third time there, actually. So we have a dealership down there, likes us. So we'll be there. It's our last stop of the year, so pretty stoked on it. It was a last minute show booking. They're like, hey, you guys got the opening? We're like, actually, we're in Houston the week before. So rolling over there and then all the way back to Wisconsin.
Nice. And when y'all do events, it seems to be kind of a mixed bag between, like, festival type atmosphere, like, and then, like, what, tell me a little bit about the event booking and how that works.
Yeah, so now we've gotten our foot in pretty much any type of entertainment. We'll do everything from NASCAR races, motorcycle dealerships, primarily Yamaha dealerships, and then we'll even do county fairs, state fairs. We've even done Sunflower Festival in Canada before, so pretty much anything that people want to be entertained at, we've been to and that we'll go to.
I feel like the NASCAR example is great because it's, like, adjacent, right? Like, what y'all do is not racing.
No, but, not at all.
But when people are at a NASCAR race, and if for anybody who's been to a race or an F1 race or really any big, like, yeah. live event like that, there's always other stuff outside the main event to keep you entertained outside of that.
Exactly.
So, like, so that's a, it's cool to see y'all getting that kind of action. Do injuries play a big part in y'all's world? Like,
yeah, this year was a really good year, actually. We both had a full injury-free. I say injury-free, meaning we both rode all season. Obviously, there's always going to be injuries you're working through. You know, he literally broke his toe a couple weeks ago loading the motorcycle. The ramp fell, smashed his foot. Like, there's nothing we could do. We still had shows literally in 3 days, so... put a bunch of KT tape on it, ice it, do the ibuprofen, and just, you know, tough it out. And Travis Pastrana said it one time the best. There's only a certain amount of pain that you can feel, and then adrenaline will start to kick over. So it's pretty easy to get the job done. We ride for about 15, 20 minutes. So injuries do play a factor, but typically we end up getting hurt, like, not riding our motorcycles. We'll get hurt mountain biking, wakeboarding. Just being overall action sports idiots will end up getting hurt that way.
So you guys don't get enough of the old adrenaline boost out of fucking motorcycles?
No, no.
Stunt riding, you got to go do other stuff too,
it's,
huh?
It's so tough. We always say that's what made us so good at it, right? Like, we look at everything differently. So you can only ride a bike so much, and then at some point you're like, well, you're at a level where the injuries from there are going to be really bad, like, you might have small ones, right? But if you crash there big, you're going, like, down, right? So you kind of got to, like, weigh out your options. So, like, we do a lot of, like, wake surfing during the week, kind of stuff that, like, is less impact if it goes completely wrong. But at the end of the day, it's all not great. We love just adrenaline. Last year, I took myself out for 6 weeks mountain biking at Woodward. I had no business probably being on that chairlift, but we drove past and we were like, wow, that looks sick. You turn the RV around, boom, broken shoulder.
Oh.
So, not great. You know, there's things that happen, but, you know, we're action sports junkies, and we grew up snowboarding, skateboarding. That kind of, like you said, is what accumulated into this stunt riding career, because until the age of 18, we couldn't even ride a wheelie. So there's definitely a lot of other sports that played a big role into why we are as good as we are now.
Yeah, I can relate, having never even ridden a skateboard before. I'm like the complete and total opposite of y'all. Like, my job is to literally sit here and talk into a microphone. It could not be more safe.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know if you've ever heard my take about motorcycles. But
oh,
like,
I love your take. That's actually why I found your podcast.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I called in about this. So that was how I found this podcast. Probably was it 2 years ago, maybe now, even three. A friend of mine reused your take on motorcycles in an Instagram reel, and it popped off for him. And I was like, well, this is absolutely hilarious, man. I want to click this. And I clicked your guys' Instagram. You know, long story short, couple things, boom, Spotify. And then we started doing the Patreon, and that was that. All because of that motorcycle take, though, is how we're sitting here today.
That is so fucking funny. Because for those of you who haven't heard it, generally it was like, I just don't understand motorcycle people. Like, I'm clearly just not one of y'all. And the risk reward is so off for me. Like, in my brain, I'm like, I don't trust the other idiots on
the
road.
Tell you, one person's driving brain here fart. Wasn't great for us either.
Oh, really?
I don't drive on the road. My exact was just like you. I'm
the
looking.
Only reason we did that is because we want to roll up on the bikes today. But we're normally, you know, in the parking lot, so we have definitely a much of your kind of take on it. You're like you said, it was your one person's brain fart away. Or your brain fired away from
getting wrecked.
Yeah, getting wrecked. So you're not wrong on that take at all, but that's just funny that that's how we found you guys.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, I think it's just one of the other things I said was that, like, the freedom and the feeling of life that fills you must just so offset your fucking, your, like, the risk side of it.
Yeah, it's completely like that.
And though. I envy that. I honestly do, because it's not like, I mean, motorcycles is one example, but also, like, I know people who go skydiving, you know, and they get this huge rush off that. They really love it. Like, that's not a thing for me. Like, it's just not in the cards.
Yep.
And I don't know. It's like, maybe one day down the road or whatever, but it's always fascinated me, especially because there's a lot of people with motorcycles in Texas, man. A lot of people with bikes in Houston,
it's
where
the biggest
I grew up.
Scene in, like, honestly, the United States, I think.
There's a dude at the dealership this weekend. He had a 2021 with 60,000 miles. If you had a bike in Wisconsin with 60,000 miles, people would think that that should already be in the scrapyard.
You don't get
60,000 miles on a motorcycle where we're from, but down here, like, people buy a motorcycle and That's all they ride every single day of the week.
Especially in the hill country outside of Austin and in central Texas, because there's a lot of scenic drives you can go do. People love that shit. There's like particular times of year when it cools down, pretty much where we're at right now in November, where it fills up. And like certain weekends, you happen to be on the highway, you'll see like a pack of 30 bikers. Mob right past
the boys
you
are coming
on their way to the trail. And that's so it's always been interesting to me. It's always something I've been like kind of fascinated by, how people have like such different mindsets, right? Are kind of preset for certain kinds of
I think a lot of it is how it is, how you're raised and how you're grown up, like how you're brought up.
Oh, definitely,
and,
like, definitely.
We grew up, our dad had a motorcycle. I think my mom made him sell his Harley for a while we were being raised, but then when they got divorced at like 13 years old, Pops right away bought a Harley.
The first thing he did?
First thing he did, that was his like divorce present. He called it to himself. He went back to the dealership, got a hog. So
yeah, see, the first thing I did was buy a gaming PC. Me and your dad are not cut from the same cloth.
No, he doesn't even know how to, he can't even type with home row, bro. Yeah. That's where he's at.
So, it sounds like injuries are something you have to deal with sometimes.
Oh, yeah, they
right?
are.
Like,
they are.
They're going to come up.
It flacked us at the beginning of our career a little bit. We had some, like, bigger injuries that were, like, you couldn't ride through them, kind of stupid ones. You know, like, we just, honestly, were just dumb and learned. Like, one, I almost lost my foot. I didn't fill my gas tank full. I was practicing on a drag strip. Bike shut off. Ended up in the hospital. Had to go get surgery the next night. Like, whole thing where it was just, like, to this day, like, when it rained the other day in Houston, the big weather front came in.
Yeah.
My ankle was on fire. And it's just like, well, that was dumb. And I remember exactly where I was the day I did it and all that. Oof. So it's like, we've learned those things. Like, even right before coming here, even weren't going to do any wheelies. I checked both our tanks. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're good on gas. Like, let's go. You know, you kind of, you're young and dumb and excited at the beginning, and you learn from those things. And
that, and there is a way of, like, actively healing that is, like, much more mainstream nowadays, with like action sports athletes are being much more open about like their healing process. So we watch a lot of like YouTube videos of skateboarders and different things, to where like when I got my shoulder surgery, my doctor was telling me the next day, go do whatever you can, like just you know, you can feel it. Like, we're six, you know, years ago they'd have you slinged up for 6 months, and it's just a whole different, you know, healing process. So like, definitely modern medicine plays a big, you know, role in it. Having good doctors back home, you know, absolutely helps a lot too.
People who actually know what they're talking about, rather than just slinging you up and
pumping
you full of drugs.
I have my shoulder doctor's cell phone number, and like, I called him in Utah when I crashed, and I was like, hey, just broke my shoulder, I'm going to be there Tuesday. He cleared his schedule. I was in surgery Wednesday morning, which normally that's going to take you weeks. You're going to have to go through multiple doctors, different appointments, where like, we've definitely been hurt enough times, fortunately, but unfortunately, that we have like a fast track with the hospital system, and we do in our state
with some really good doctors with the Green Bay Packers. It actually works out well that they sponsor them in the area we're in, so we just drive up to Green Bay for all the best shoulder doctors.
No shit.
Knee doctors, try to get the best. Like, we definitely
wait for the appointment.
We do the state of Wisconsin DOT sponsors us. We do DUI commercials now.
Okay.
So we have a pretty big image actually growing in Wisconsin, to where like in the doctor's office, our commercial will be playing. So like, we can call him and be like, hey, we're the guy from the DUI commercial. I just broke my shoulder. It needs to be fixed. He's like, oh man, like, I need to get you back on the bike. You got work to do. So like,
sick.
They're definitely super sick with that. But I mean, that comes with being hurt a lot. So...
Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs makes the most comfortable and versatile pants, shorts, and bathing suits in the entire world. I've been wearing them for several years now. They cannot be beaten. I have an entire drawer in my dresser occupied solely by Bird Dogs pants and shorts. I wear them to sleep, to do yard work, when I'm hooping, when I go swimming, when I work out. I wear them to do everything. They fit great, they feel great, and they look great. They're just great shorts. And they all have funny names, the different color designs. Art Fartknockers, Duffy the Vampire Slayers, Uncle Bucks, and Teddy Rubskins, just to name a few. The pants, great for the golf course, great for these cooler months as well, great for the office or going out to dinner or hitting the bars. The most insanely comfortable pants you have ever worn. No one will have any idea how comfortable you are, though, because they look sharp as well. Click on the link in the description below to go to birddogs.com/bolin and enter code BOLIN when you check out, and they will throw in a free Bird Dogs tech hat with every order. I should also mention they've got great looking polo shirts now as well at Bird Dogs that are just as comfortable as the pants and the shorts. Again, You get a beautiful Bird Dogs hat for free when you go to birddogs.com/Bolin and enter code Bolin at checkout. That's birddogs.com/Bolin, code Bolin. And then there's, how many years into this are y'all at this point?
So we started, technically I started like riding, practicing wheelies, stunt riding at the age of 18, so right out of high school.
2015.
And then basically we rode for about a year or two and then really tried to like start doing shows and we started just doing small local gigs and then it kind of slowly cascaded from there.
And then you, at some point, figured out how to tap into social media.
Yeah, so social media was big for us. Year or so is when we really saw a really big spike on Instagram. We had a couple of reels that went dumb viral. I think my most viral one has like 50 million views
Good
or something
God,
on one
okay.
individual video. And that took our page to a whole new level. So we just saw the fire coming and just started pouring gasoline on and just started pumping out content. And right now we're doing really well on YouTube. So that's what we're really pushing right now.
Yeah. It's funny that social media, it's kind of cyclical like that. Like TikTok dropped and it was like, that was a place where you could build a crazy following. And then all of a sudden the fire hose got turned off and you're like, okay, well now nothing is really happening here. So it's YouTube. You know what I mean? You kind of have to like keep your eye on which one is actually giving you the exposure.
But they all want you to give all the exposure all the time, which is the problem. If you don't feed the fire, there's no fire, and it's like, what am I supposed to feed?
Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare.
And then one will pay you, and then they'll stop paying you 1 month. It's like, well, where'd that go? There was a bonus program here. Now it's not here. So then you go to the other one, and then they don't feel your love because you stopped, and it's like, where am I supposed to go?
It sucks, man. Yeah, and then that's like my whole job.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's terrible. That's why we try to like focus on it, but then also not like we're always just try to say we're live performers at the end of the day. But also like our sponsors want us to, you know, have that like Yamaha, they don't really care about social media at all. They want us to be out in the field selling bikes, promoting the image, doing what we're doing.
Good for them.
Everybody else though, they want codes. They want
We've
like
given up on almost like
we have a sponsor for a year. That's great. We think we're doing everything right. And then they're like, your code was used twice all year. I'm like, that's great. I don't know. I'm not
how to help
I'm,
it
I'm,
be
I'm
more.
Not pushing
yeah.
that,
yeah, yeah.
man. Like, I'm out here doing this. And they're just like, well, you know, it is what it is. So it's kind of, you got to find the balance of sponsors that want to see both sides, kind of. So like our gear sponsor right now, Icon, they've been great. They don't really care. Like they want us to be in the field too. So it's like, that's good. But some of them, man, and then a new person will come in and then everything changes then too. So it's like,
yeah, you can kind of feel out like which marketing people that you
deal
with.
Yeah, you have a good relationship and then all of a sudden they're gone. They moved over to some other company and now you're like, great, I loved him. Now what? And then you start.
New guy sucks. Like, oh, God.
New guy sucks. And he's got this whole new way of Instagram. He wants to do all of these. And it's like, great, I see my deal going right out the door. You just open the door for it, like, kind of thing. You just got to start moving on. So we kind of try not to focus too much on it, but you still have to, so it's weird.
It's one of those things. There's value in it. It can be frustrating. I try to do kind of what you just said, which is, like, I focus on my product and what I love about it, like doing my shows, right? That's the this part of it, like talking to people, talking to myself sometimes, talking to Cade. That's the part I love about my job. And so I feel like as long as you always hear people tell you, like, as long as you focus on doing what you love,
you're good to
like,
go.
You'll be fine. You may not make the same money all the time, but like you will be fine. And because my industry operates the exact same way you're describing, where it's like a sponsor suddenly pulls out, or like there's a totally new marketing guy and they're not as responsive, or they want something totally different. Or,
oh, I love the responsive part. Some people are just on it, and some guys are months. It's like, why can't you just reply to my email?
Takes forever. How hard is it, man?
If you don't want what I'm selling you, just tell me no. Yeah. At the end of the day, like, I'll move on then.
Some common courtesy.
That's my biggest pet peeve with everyone.
Yeah,
we've
been having to blow one of our sponsors up recently to try to get information, and it's
then they get mad at you for blowing them up, though. They're like, well, you blew me up. And it's like, well, you didn't respond to 37 emails. What am I supposed to do?
So what kind of, to go from the injury side of it to like the protective side of it, y'all are wearing some kind of padding.
Yeah.
When you're up there performing.
Yep.
What does that look like?
Yeah, so we're wearing Icon Motorsports riding gear. So we're wearing jeans that have knee pads sewn into them. We're wearing just a standard motorcycle jacket. most importantly, always helmet. Always have a helmet on, even when we're just riding around to the gas station or whatever, because you never know what can happen, you know, with a head injury. And
it's that brain fart thing, yeah.
Yeah, that brain fart thing. It can be someone silly as, you know, they're down there texting and they hit you pulling in for gas. So always helmets and, yeah, just typical motorcycle safety gear and get really good at rolling. When you hit the ground, you got to roll.
And what happens when you break a bike?
Ooh,
I got to assume that obviously that's one of the things you try to avoid.
Yeah, so right now we're at the fortunate point in our career where if we did break a bike, we would go into the trailer and grab, you know, the backup bike or just another bike out. Otherwise, we're there fixing it. Me and my brother, we fix our trailers, we fix the motorhome. So if something breaks down on the side of the road in between, that's where we always tell people, like, our job is getting to the show, and then that's so much fun when we're there. Like, I love that part of it, but getting there, that's more of like a truck driver. I mean, that can be stressful.
That's the harder part. Yeah,
that's
it's not
where
even
it's work.
The bikes. Like, the bikes are dialed. It's the trailer, the RV, catching something. Like, you'll have a truck driver blow past you. He blows a tire. It comes into you. And now you got shrapnel. It's just like the uninevitable.
It started pouring in Houston this last week, and the RV roof started leaking because some acorns fell in the air conditioning vent. Like, we woke up in the water just pouring down on the floor. So it's like, that was
right on our race sim, like it's just dripping in. I'm like, oh, damn, move.
So we got all these expensive IMAX and stuff getting all wet. It's just like, geez. So, I mean, but it's stuff like that. But I mean, that's just part of, like, I remember I called in on a take like that, and that's just what we chose to do. So it's, you know, getting there, you deal with those things. We've gotten a lot better. We pack spare parts, we pack spare tools. We have pretty much almost everything that we break down. If I go to the store, I'm buying two of it so that the next time I have a spare.
So it sounds like y'all are incredibly self-sufficient in terms of, like, dealing with repairs.
Oh, yeah. We're pretty self-sufficient as far as that goes. We have too many videos of us broke down, you know, on the side of the road as far as, you know, that goes. And just, yeah, we can pretty much get ourselves to where we need to be. And then
we've developed the bikes, too, into a way where they really don't break. That's kind of the other cool part. Like, like I said before, we sell all the parts that we ride with, but a lot of them are also, like, parts that if it broke, we bring it to our CNC shop. We're like, hey, make this beefier, make this better, so now it doesn't break. And then if it does, we just have a spare one that we sell anyways in the RV, so you just go grab a brand new one, bolt it back on, you're good to go. So, like, anything that's breakable is pretty much replaceable unless we blow a motor up, and then we're just, I mean, Yamaha, I mean, they have never blown up, so it's kind of fortunate.
It's not a thing you do.
Yeah, it's really not a thing we do. We don't ride them that hard in the show because we're not going that fast on them, because, like, everything's in, like, a usually like a 200-foot, 250-foot long area because we're inside of an event. So we're really not getting that much speed and that much damage on them. So we change the oil every couple shows, new tire pretty much every other weekend, and just kind of keep on. We haven't really done a thing to either of our bikes all year besides put gas in them.
Huge. So you're moving around. You're going around the country. You've got the RV, which I assume is where y'all are, like, that's where you crash, that's where you're sleeping, that's where you're eating.
Yep, that's the home base on wheels. We always say wherever that's parked, that's where the home is. The zip code's always changing.
And then y'all have got the trailer behind that with the bikes in it.
Yep, so we got the trailer behind it, we got the two dogs in the RV, and then me and him will both, so that's what's nice about having the RV now, like, so we'll both fly in and out. Sometimes we both have girlfriends, mine's in Wisconsin with the little guy, and then his is in Boston, so, like, for example, if the Yamaha dealer has room, we'll just stage that thing up there a week in advance, fly in real quick, you know, fly back if it works out. If not, we're just truck stop to truck stop, campground to campground in the RV. You know, we'll go ride with people if we have time. So it's always like a 50-50 of, like, we get to sometimes go back, and sometimes we're just, like, on the road riding, doing the thing, making content.
Y'all are on the fucking move, man.
Yeah. grinding. It's a grind. Like, and I'm flying with two dogs when I do it to go back home, too. So, like, my mom will take the dog sometimes, but most of the time they're with me, so it's like, I got these two things. Yeah. it's a whole thing, but I love it, and it makes it good, and yeah.
So as far as y'all's equipment goes with the bikes and everything with performance-wise, are y'all everything covered by sponsors at this point?
Pretty much. We have it to the point where if we're not getting it sponsored, we're selling it in a sense. Like, we'll make it for ourselves. So pretty much everything that way, like, Yamaha helps us with our PA, our tents, our safety walls, all that good stuff, generators, anything that's, like, big expensive stuff. The bikes, obviously, we get the bikes each year. We, you know, that's very fortunate. But then everything else is, like I said, either gear sponsored or we sell it straight on twinstunts.com, and then we're making it off of the back end of marketing it. So there's always a way, but nothing's on our bike that's either not sponsored or ours in some fashion.
How long did it take y'all to get to that point
Every day we're putting new parts on the website.
We really developed it during COVID was when we really launched our twinstones.com because we had a bunch of shows get canceled. We had to look at ourselves like,
oh shit, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
What are we going to do for money right now? So it was the first couple months of COVID were really rough. So we were like, oh man, we got to think of something. So we took the RV, took it to Kentucky at a friend's shop who makes stunt parts. And we were like, hey man, we have these three parts we want to make. We sat there, developed them all.
Ran a power cord out of his thing.
Lived at his shop for 3 weeks.
No shit.
Sat there while he was building the parts. I was inside learning how to run a simple Wix store. Launched it. Looked terrible. Got it out there. And within like the first couple weeks, we're like, oh man, this is like actually something. So then we ended up reinvesting that money into the store, getting it better, you know, laid out, all that fun stuff. And it's just taken off from there.
Nice.
Now we're shipping parts from my little town of 500 people in Wisconsin. We're sending stuff to Japan, North Korea. When they see the things come through there, they're like, "What? How are you finding these people?" Yeah. I'm like, "They just order it. We have fans all over, and there's a lack of quality parts overseas. It's really hard to get good parts. So a lot of people will buy our stuff internationally now. So it's definitely grown much bigger than we thought it was gonna."
Sick. Have you ever seen the movie The Place Beyond the Pines?
Mm-mm.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, you got to watch this one.
Place Behind the Pines.
Yeah, Place Beyond the Pines.
Beyond the Pines,
and
okay.
It's like Ryan Gosling is in it, and he essentially is like a stunt rider for a traveling circus at the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
But like in the... I don't know how to describe this, but it's like the big cage, but it's a circle.
The wall of death.
Where three dudes get in there and they're all going around. Like, so he does that shit at the beginning of the movie. Anyway,
y'all were just saying reminded
me of this movie. It is dope, though. It's a really good movie. It's like one of my favorites, but also involves some stunt riding.
Yeah.
So thought I'd throw a Place Beyond the Pines plug in there today.
No, I'm going to have to watch that on a rainy day here for sure.
So who, like... Different arenas, like, you know, people grow up, want to be a basketball player, obsessed with basketball. They look at, like, Michael Jordan or, like, LeBron James to give you the two most stereotypical idols. Like, for y'all, who growing up, who did you look at,
That's the really unique part of this story. So we grew up, my mom owns concession stands at a racetrack in Wisconsin.
It's like a restaurant, not a concession stand.
Yeah, it's like a full-blown restaurant at the racetrack, right? And it overlooks the stunt show area where we now perform. So we were always like 8, 9, 10 years old. We would hear the bikes. They'd do the same thing when we pulled in. They'd bang a rev limiter a few minutes before the show, and we would run down the hill and just stand at the fence. We could barely even see over the fence, just trying to watch these guys, and they'd fly back and forth. And we never even knew that was like, you know, what we were going to do, but we were just always inspired by like loud action sports. We always wanted to be at the dirt bike races, doing things like that. So we started watching Jason Britton would have been the first guy there back, and he actually still does shows to this day. We actually have done shows with him, which is crazy. So it was full circle. It all started, though, literally watching I literally begged my mom, hey, I need to go down there. They're riding again. And she'd be like, all right, you got 10 minutes, and you got to get back to literally wrapping cheeseburgers, twisting bags of ice, like... Yeah,
I always wanted to not be wrapping the cheeseburgers. For some reason, as a head of my kid, I thought I was going to get stuck there. Like, for whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do something cool. I always wanted to be either the race car driver or the guy on the bike. I'm like, that's sick. Like, not knowing what they were doing, I'm like, I just want to do something else besides this. Even though now like, I look at it, I want that business. I want to buy it from her. Like, when she retires, like, it's sick. But at the day, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I want to do something else.
Well, especially like, as a kid, like that.
You see all the cool shit.
That doesn't get you as excited.
Yeah, you see the cool shit every weekend. Like they got one weekend, it's Ferraris there, and then you got bikes there, and it's just like, man, this is all
so cool.
We're
exposed to a lot of different things growing up, which definitely
sensory overload
fuel us to want to do something else.
Yeah, that is one thing about going to like a monster truck deal or any kind of like bike event. Like it's fucking loud.
Oh
like,
yeah, it's loud.
Fucking
both
loud.
Both of our hearing is trash. We would literally be kids and we would run across this aluminum bridge to try to beat the cars as they were just full speed, and we didn't know how much damage we were doing. Like, we've had both our hearing tested, and it's just absolute garbage. So even we have to ride with earplugs in everywhere now, or it's just like ringing at the end of the day. But you know, that was neither here nor there. You can't undo that.
You gotta protect the ears, man.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
Sounds crazy. You know how you all have AirPods? You know what I'm saying? The Apple AirPods. Whenever I'm listening to music now without fail, every single time, I eventually get one of those warnings. It's like, you need to turn down the volume.
I think that warning is just not loud enough, though.
Yeah, that shit always makes me feel bad. But I'm also like, this is nothing compared to what, like, when I was in high school.
Oh,
for several years, I had a system in my car, like a crazy system that was turned up at a ridiculous volume.
Oh, yeah.
Always. And, like, that was definitely bad for my ears, but I'm not sure about this AirPod shit.
I felt good to feel. I thought something broke in the RV the other day at a stoplight, and it was just some dude with a huge system, and you don't get a lot of those where we live anymore.
Oh, you get them down here, dude.
I was like, oh, man, this is sick.
The sound comps
rattling the windows.
Dude, especially in Houston. Like, it's actually more surprising if I'm at a red light in Houston and don't feel someone else's bass than the other way around.
Something's wrong. It kind of feels eerie.
Yeah. This is too quiet. I don't know what's happening here. So how many cities, like, how many different cities in the U.S. have y'all hit at this point?
Man, so,
lose count now.
Yeah, we've been to pretty much almost every state we've done a show in practically now, I would say. Either that or we've driven through it to get to another event at this point.
What about Alaska?
Not Alaska, but we've done Canada. So
okay,
we've broken the border, but we haven't gone up to Alaska.
We were supposed to do the Alaska State Fair. But it was
the roads that are to get there.
We can't get there.
It's gonna it'll literally break
the
motor
bikes, and it was a whole. It added like $10,000.
Logistical nightmare.
Yeah, not for us, but for their pricing, it was like we hit them with the bid, and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna find someone else."
They would have to put them on boats in California and then bring them there because it was like we're not driving there.
So do y'all handle the business side of it too together?
50. So it's kind of like a 50-50, almost 50. We have a manager agent too, and he helps us with a lot of like our bigger sponsoring deals. Like, he's the negotiator. It definitely helps you as you have a manager when you're not negotiating for yourself. But we do a lot of our show bookings. If people are calling us about, you know, the setup, and we definitely are like very hands-on with our program though.
So it's not just like, all right, we're the performers.
No, absolutely not.
Somebody else has got to figure all this shit out.
Yeah,
we figure out most of it, but if there's ever like an issue or a red flag, I just call it like my get out of jail free card.
Yeah, if we have like an insurance
issue or something.
Like,
you just gotta call them, and they're just like, "Who's them?" Like, oh, well, that's my manager. You don't want to talk to him, and they're just like, "Oh." So then you kind of like back yourself out of that corner if you need it. But most of the time, we kind of like avoid that and just get it all
done. It's just easier to do it yourself. It's the old saying: if you want something done right, you do it yourself.
Yeah, but, it's hard to disagree with that.
It's good to have a good solid team though around, because there's definitely, you know, meetings that he goes into that we just aren't, you know, capable of doing, saying the same things and leveraging ourselves the same way as someone talking for you can.
Yeah.
It's easy to say you're awesome, but it's better when someone else is saying
that's a very good way of putting it. Yeah. I can do this. I am great. You're like, sure you can.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So let's say somebody listening wants to go see a Twin Stunt show. Like, how do they figure out where y'all are going to be at next? Like, scheduling wise, how, I mean, other than following on social
that's
media,
that's the best way, because it's ever changing so fast. I have like a rough schedule that we throw out at the beginning of the year, but people are constantly adding in different dates and different things, so where I can't even update the schedule fast enough. So we're definitely Instagram, TikTok, you know, story posting, letting people know that way. And then we do have a schedule posted on twinstunts.com, but like I said, it's just always changing, so the best way is definitely hit us up on social media.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Talkspace. I've been in therapy for over a decade and can't more highly recommend it, but I understand it can be daunting getting started. Getting started is way less daunting, though, with today's sponsor, Talkspace. They make connecting with a licensed therapist easy, so you can stop setting aside your own mental well-being. Do you think seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one and meet with them or afford them? Try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and affordable. At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. Talkspace can help with any specific challenges you might be facing. It's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and more. And as a listener of RBP, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/RBP to match with a licensed therapist today. Go to Talkspace.com/RBP to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/RBP. Is there an area of the country that you feel like people are more into what y'all are doing?
Right here, man. Texas is a great bike life area. Texas loves the motorcycles.
We do a lot of shows down here.
We do like sometimes 5 to 7 shows in Texas a year.
We always start, I was telling Kate at the beginning, we usually start our season in April in Texas because it's, you know, warm here. It's snowing back home. It's typically still in April. And then we always end in April or end here in November in Texas as well.
And then what during the off season, like what do y'all focus on?
We get about a week or two where we go relax. And then we usually will build some ice tires. Once it gets cold enough, we do some ice videos. And then
what do you mean build ice tires?
We put screws, so we'll take screws and run them into the motorcycle.
So you literally turn them into ice tires.
So yeah, we do a couple things and we work with some YouTubers with the Sea Boys and we go up there and we film some ice projects with them. And so we do a couple ice things and then we actually have an indoor show in Canada first week of January. So we really don't have much off season. February and March is our real off season right now. And then April, we're back in Arizona for bike week.
That's an insane schedule.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, this is, I think, the latest we've ever... No, I guess we normally do Black Friday in Florida, but we're here this year.
Yeah. We normally try to get in, like, you know, as much family time in the off season as you can, but even then, it just seems like it's not enough. But
yeah.
You try, you know, you try to get anything that you can in there, you know, squeezing all the trampoline park runs and everything. Like, I get into full dad mode for 2 months, and then it's back to it.
Back on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's, you know... I think it's the thing that everybody who find, even if you find something you love as your career, like you end up bumping up against like the work-life balance right?
And it's
tough. I mean, I'm 12 years into this now, and I feel like I'm starting to get it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like the personal life, work-life balance split is a little bit healthier for me now.
You're hitting the light switch, you can shut it off, kind of.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It's like anytime I get into that place where I'm like, all right, I'm finally focusing enough on myself outside of what I do for money.
Yeah.
Then I feel that draw. I'm like, well, then that means I could be doing more.
Yeah. And it's like, I should be making more YouTube edits, or I should be doing this.
Yes,
and it's
that's
where
every entrepreneur's downfall, I think.
Yeah. You know? It's stressful, man.
But it's also the reason you're doing it and not working for someone else.
Absolutely.
And you're making your bills paid on time. And, you know, that's why I always try to tell my girlfriend, like, there still is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, it sucks when you're gone for 4 weeks at a crack, but I'm like, hey, you know, if we need the money, I'm like, I got, you know, it's there type of thing. You know,
yeah.
It's very tough to balance that and see it all. But, I mean, they both understand. I mean, both of our girlfriends, he's gone more than I am. Like, he barely ever gets back to Boston. Like, where I get to go back to Wisconsin quite a bit more because of all of our stuff there. We do shows there. Our family's there. Our boat's there. Our house is there. Shop's there. So it's like, I get a benefit. He's just trying to, you know, he does a good job with it. So
now you guys should motivate you to like get more business going in the Boston area.
I don't want to go to Boston. I don't like that.
You don't like Boston?
No, I don't like, not a big fan of the big cities. I mean, they're good for shows, but get in, get out. That's my philosophy.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the traffic. I hate all the people.
Dude, as soon as we hit Houston, I was like, bro, you got to get out of the driver's seat. Like, you can't. He's like, it's rust. I'm like, that's what it does here, man. It's not. He's like looking for different looking for different routes off the highway. I'm like, bro, you're not going to go anywhere there faster, dude. You just got to sit in this.
And my route's the same in Wisconsin to the shop every day unless I hit a tractor. And then it adds 5 minutes.
Oh, dude,
like, that's it. It's all I worry about.
That's the fucking dream.
There's not one. There's like maybe 2 stoplights from his drive, which is a 45-mile drive to our shop. There's probably 2 actual stoplights you're gonna see.
Yeah, y'all know I don't like the driving.
That's because you grew up in the wrong state for your driving.
Dude, I grew up growing up in Houston. It didn't used to bother me just because it was like all I knew. I think, you know,
sure.
Just like I was just like, oh, whatever.
Is it always this crazy, or they get crazier though?
As it is right now?
Yeah,
you mean?
Like doing 90 at 100.
Oh, dude,
it's
been insane my whole life.
Oh, man.
it got a lot bigger over the course of the last 20 years. Like when I was a little kid, I-10, which is probably, or I-35, I-10, I-10.
Yeah.
Might be what y'all took out of there to get here.
Yeah, it runs all the way to Arizona, doesn't it?
You know how it's like, it's like 8 lanes wide now. It's fucking enormous. When I was a kid, it was like half of that.
Yeah,
and then at one point, they did massive construction. But like, everybody in Houston drives very, very fast, way over the speed limit. It's probably where my motorcycle take developed because I was just watching people like, this is not fucking safe.
No, there's a death wish out there. That's a totally different type of motorcycle ride.
You gotta drive aggressively in Houston to stay alive.
No, you're offense. It's not a defensive driver. That's
then I moved
sure.
here, and Austin is the total and complete opposite. Where not so much now because it's a transplant city. There's not that many people in Austin that are like Austinites. But back when I first got here 12 years ago, even, it was like nobody was in a hurry to get anywhere.
Sure.
Like nobody had a fucking job to get to or any appointments. Everyone's just chilling high, driving incredibly slow. And I was what the fuck is this? Now it's a disaster because we've got like this mishmash of Californians, people from Houston, people from Dallas, every major Texas city.
And
like,
no one developed the roads right.
Oh,
with all these over under turnarounds, my RV hates those.
Dude,
like,
Austin is disaster. Like,
you can't be aggressive in a 65-foot RV, and you're doing these under over U turns.
Everyone's
with
blowing
all
the horn
homeless
at you.
People.
It's
just like,
what are you gonna do? Blow the horn all you want. I'm just gonna stay in my lane. I feel like one of those commercials, like with just the old people that have no business behind the RV.
Yeah,
like, well, I'm just here. I'm doing my thing.
Well, shit, man. Anything else y'all want to cover while we're here? Like, I'm obviously not motorcycle guy, so I don't know all of the best questions, probably.
I don't think so. You guys need to keep doing your thing. Your pod's been great. We stack up the episodes, and then we'll crack out 15-hour drives just listening to them.
My favorite people to hear from are people who have jobs that lend themselves to listening to podcasts a lot, usually people who travel, but also like we've got like a contingency of listeners who are farmers. That are like on track, like big ass tractors on farms all day. And I'm just like, that's
can't listen to the same music on repeat. And like,
the other day, my mom was like, "What in the hell are you listening to?" Because I had you just on the headphones, like on loud, walking through the house. And she was like, "I was like, it's a podcast." I was like, "It's information besides the world news that you take in every day. That's so great." She's like, "Well, I don't listen to any podcast. I don't know what a podcast is." I'm like, it's just such a new thing that it's just really cool."
A couple of years ago, I had a friend ask me, "How do I get a podcast?" And I was like, "What do you mean
that?"
He's like, "Where do I go to like get your podcast?" And I was like, "Dude, it's in the internet. It's not a store. You don't go to like Best Buy and
wildest question."
Like, this guy's my age, and I was just like, "What the fuck is happening right now? How can you not? You don't understand the concept of a fucking podcast? It's crazy." So, I think at this point, it's gotten a lot more mainstream.
I think the
podcast world is pretty huge.
Especially, everyone has a podcast.
Dude, in 2020, during the pandemic, it was like,
that was the thing to do.
It was insane.
It was either start an OnlyFans or start a podcast.
There's like, exactly. In a lot of cases, both. But like, there's not like a world event that could happen where suddenly you're looking around and you're like, oh shit, everybody's a stunt rider now. There's just stunt riders.
That was what me and him
fucking
were saying
everywhere.
The other day.
That's what happened with podcasting. I was like looking around like, oh good, every A-list celebrity on the planet now has a fucking podcast.
I've done this for how many years now?
And now
they're all here.
Just sitting here on my thumb like, great, this is great.
this is awesome.
This is really fun. Everything is fine. Well, thank y'all for taking the time to come through Austin and make sure we got to do this.
Thanks for having us.
This is way better than doing it over a Zoom. That just went to work. That would have been lame.
It's not the same,
I will,
dude.
If I'm scrolling through, even if it's like my favorite podcast, and if I see that they have someone on a phone thing, I'm clicking past it. I can't get behind it. It doesn't
click
sound
past
the same.
Ones that, with J-Bone when he was up there.
It just doesn't.
The
sound
for
first
audio.
Couple were hard. I was like, it's not.
I tried to tell, like, my dad was like, why don't you get. Just have Jared still do the show from Wisconsin, like before
the mics
Jared moved.
Don't link up right for whatever reason. The sound is not right.
Maybe they'll be there.
The energy isn't the same either because it's like it's just different when you're sitting in a room able to look at somebody and like read their facial expressions versus like having to pay attention to Zoom. And like typically for me when I'm doing interviews on Zoom, it's stacked right here literally, and then I've got my computer and I'm having to look at them and look at my outline to make sure I'm not missing any of the questions. I just don't enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Much more stressful.
No, it means a lot having y'all come to the studio, and it's always cool. Like, I remember the first time, I think it was you that explained on your hotline call on Patreon, you were like, you brought up twin stunts, and I was like, twin stunts?
Yeah, the first thing you made it, you made it the little picture or whatever on Patreon.
I pulled y'all's shit up and was like, oh my God, this is fucking crazy. Like, I love hearing from people who do interesting, cool shit for a living. Because I like to picture myself doing that. You know what I mean?
Well, you're definitely doing that. You're definitely doing that.
Well, when you've done it for long enough, I think, and when it then becomes like a mainstream deal, like I was saying with like 2020 and the explosion, then it doesn't feel as much.
Doesn't feel
as unique.
Anymore.
But even so.
Hey, as long as you're paying your bills with it, though, it's still unique.
No, definitely.
A lot of guys,
I'm not complaining.
Podcasts, they're just podcasts.
I'm not complaining. Absolutely. It's like 99% of the shows are not making any money off of that. So I definitely feel lucky. I love hearing from people who are doing something they're passionate about. awesome. Making a living with it. And it means a lot more when it's somebody who actually listens to my show, too. I'm like, this is sick. So thank y'all again. Y'all make sure you follow Twin Stunts everywhere.
Yep.
That will do it for today's show. Thanks again to Shannon and Sawyer for coming through. Make sure you follow Twin Stunts on all social media platforms. Subscribe to their YouTube channel as well. And go support them if you are lucky enough to have them come through your area. Please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. To check out our other shows, go to BolinMedia.com. For all the F1 fans out there, we have Bolin Media's premier F1 programming, Formula Bone, hosted by our own Jared J-Bone Borislow. You can find that show at YouTube.com/@FormulaBone with a preview and a recap for every single F1 race all season long. We've got Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, hosted by myself and one of my best friends, Barrett Dudley. Of over 20 years now, we've known each other, and we've been doing OCC, as it is called, for several years together. Started as a Game of Thrones podcast. Now we cover whatever it is we are watching, and currently we are watching Foundation Season 2 on Apple TV+. Check out Oysters, Clams, and Cockles wherever you get your RBP. And if you're a Houston sports fan, check out my Houston sports show, Banging the Can. Hit bolinmedia.com/shop to grab yourself some RBP merch, maybe a good Horny for Sunsets t-shirt or a finishing cup. The holiday season is upon us. Buy your people gifts from bolinmedia.com/shop. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at WRBolen, at WRBOLEN. This episode of RBP is presented by Bolen Media. Video of today's show was produced by Cade Orris. Go to YouTube.com/@TheRossBolenPodcast for full video of our show, plus funny clips in the form of YouTube shorts. We'll be back later this week on Patreon.com/RossBolenPodcast with another ad-free exclusive episode just for our supporters on Patreon, just like we do every week. Until next time, peace be with you. And also with you.
Peace be with you, and also with you.
Go low, baby.